It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Swing and a high fly.
Swung on high.
This is tagged.
Hammered at the gap.
At the track. High and deep to right.
That ball just got out of here.
That was hit a
ton. This is going to go to the rock
pile. This ball's getting small.
This is charged. Right back at the track.
Seems like the ball's had a lot of life the last couple of nights.
We could go back to back. Here's Adam Engel. Swinging a long one to left. We're going to have a tie ball game. He did go back to back. High and deep. This is crushed to left center field. This is going to go for a home run. Way out of here.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Strike after strike, he is on a roll. Seven straight strikeouts. The wind and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and a fastball away. Make it eight in a row for Giolito.
Coming off of my year in 18, had a lot of adjustments to be made. I had to fix some mechanical things. I had to fix some mental stuff. And then I was able to have a pretty good body of work. For me, it just makes me hungrier for more.
Anderson hits one in the air. Deep into left field. Gordon turns and watches, and this one is gone way up into the bleachers.
He turned on it, burned on it, flipped the bat, and started running.
You know, we broke down my swing, and we made some changes, and it seemed to work for me.
The Chicago Baseball Conversation.
Deep into right field.
On the flagship home of the Sox.
It is gone!
720 WGN.
And welcome into White Sox Weekly, the first edition post-winter meetings. I'm Andy Mazur with you here. We'll take you up to Blackhawks hockey right around 6:30. Chris Bowden will have that for you as the Blackhawks that is take on the St. Louis Blues. Want to mention, too, you were listening to coverage of the Army-Navy game, a pretty nice little game right there in Philadelphia, won by the Naval Academy 31-7 over Army. Navy cruising there and ending a three-game losing skid to Army. A lot of sports here today on WGN Radio. We'll hope you stick with us through White Sox Weekly here. We got a lot coming up on this show here today. I mentioned post-winter meetings. We'll hear from Rick Hahn. We'll also hear from manager Ricky Renteria on their thoughts of the acquisition of Nomar Mazara. And I know everything on Twitter that I saw was very, very mixed, but we're gonna let them explain to you exactly what was going on as far as the acquisition there. A left-handed bat certainly does look good in that White Sox lineup, a guy with a lot of power. A guy that, can play right field. Hey, let's think about this. Just because deals were not made in the winter meetings does not mean that deals will not be made between now and spring training. I think there's a false narrative that goes on there a little bit where people get all wrapped up in the winter meetings. A lot of times, from my experience around baseball for the past couple of decades almost here, a lot of the times those deals they're started. The conversations are started when they're together. In one hotel, and they have a chance to meet face-to-face with opposing general managers. And those are the kind of things where you set the groundwork for a deal. Doesn't necessarily mean that deal is going to get done at the winter meetings. It could get done any time. So, again, I know a lot is put on the winter meetings. I know that a lot of people would like to have seen a lot of deals come down from that winter meetings, but that just didn't happen, and it doesn't mean that they're done. So let's not push the panic button yet. So a lot to get to. We'll hear from Darryl Van Scowen, who covers the White Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times. He was in San Diego. We will also hear from a brand-new member of baseball's Hall of Fame, the one, the only, Ken Hawk Harrelson, will join us coming up after a break. Give the gift of White Sox baseball this season with a holiday pack starting at $45. Each pack includes four ticket vouchers for the 2020 season, along with an exclusive White Sox holiday blanket. Get yours today at whitesox.com/holidaypacks. We'll talk to the Hawk coming up next on 720 WGN White Sox Week.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
Welcome into White Sox Weekly here on 720 WGN. I'm Andy Mazur with you here for the next hour. And we start things off with a bang here. We talked to a guy who got a great call from New York and is now a member of the Hall of Fame. At least he'll be inducted in July. It is Ken Hawk Harrelson joining us. And Hawk, congratulations on this great honor for you.
It is, Andy. It really is. You know, I'm just starting to digest it, really, because of the fact that it is such a great honor. I mean, it's a heck of a lot bigger than I anticipated it might be if, in fact, I did get it. And now that I did, this is huge. I tell you, I'm getting calls from all over actually from some from Europe, South America, and all over the country.
It's amazing, too, because I was reading something that said that you were actually speechless when you got this phone call. And I know you were trying not to think about it, but you couldn't really help it, could you?
You know, the only time I really got into it was the night before when I went to bed. I had trouble getting to sleep because I was thinking about what if and what if not, you know. And all of a sudden, the call was like 20, 25 minutes late coming in. And during that time, I'm just saying to myself, when it got to be 11:25, I'm saying to myself, well, Hawk, we got to wait longer, you know. And 10 seconds later, the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it said, Cooperstown calling. And when it said that, I knew that, you know, it was a good call. And I was so happy because my wife was here, our son was here, our other two surrogate sons, Robert Dameron and A.J. Pierzynski, they were here, which I didn't know. And so we all celebrated. You know, it was just all awesome. It really is.
Well, you're supposed to enjoy it, so yeah, you should be enjoying the honor there and taking all those calls. But, you know, you mentioned A.J. Pierzynski. I want to go that route real quick here with you. Because, you know, a lot of broadcasters will say, okay, you know, that the players have the clubhouse. It's their clubhouse. They do what they do. I do what I do. But you had that special bond. You played the game, and you had a real knack for getting along with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. With AJ, it was something special and always has been. I've known him since he was a sophomore in high school. In fact, Lisa, his wife, and our daughter Krista, they were roommates at Florida State. So we've had a close bond and a close relationship for a long time. And, of course, you know, in 05, A.J. was instrumental in us winning the World Series and, you know, going to the World Series and then in sweeping Houston. But, no, and then Robert, of course, he's on morning drive on MLB, Golftown rather. And he won the Byron Nelson, I think, in 2001. In fact, a trivia question is, Robert, he lived with us a couple of years, his junior and senior years, when he was at Dr. Phillips. And AJ went to Dr. Phillips, as did our son and our daughter. And in Robert's career, he won more money than Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer combined.
It's all about timing, isn't it?
Exactly right. Exactly. He only won one tournament, but he had a lot of, you know, top 10s and top 20s and all that stuff. He was a hell of a player. And his dad is one of my dearest friends, and his brother Patrick, again, he's just like a surrogate son to us because we've been so close over the years. But it's been great, you know, and all this could never have happened except for my beautiful Greek wife. I mean, believe me, she saved my life. And, you know, when I retired from baseball and went into golf, I had the talent. And, you know, I played in the British Open, and I won some small tournaments and stuff like that. So the talent was not an issue. But I had a bad temper, really bad temper. And that helped service me when I was playing football or basketball or baseball. But that doesn't work in golf. You cannot have a bad temper and play the game of golf. And so I was failing. And I was failing, and I was going out at night drinking and getting in fights. And if you do that long enough, Andy, you're going to get dead because you're going to run into the wrong guy, you know. And then I met her, and when I met her, 10 minutes after I met her, I knew I was going to marry her. I mean, it was amazing. They call it love at first sight. I experienced that. I've experienced a lot of things in my life. And that was 46 years ago. We've been married for 46 years, and I love her more now than I ever have. And plus, I've never seen a paycheck in 46 years.
Even better,
when
right?
When you marry a Greek, you lose a lot of your masculinity.
Ken Hawk Harrelson joining us here on White Sox Weekly. You know, I was curious, too, what you thought about and how you developed this great relationship with not only the players, as you mentioned, but the fan base. I mean, the fans of the White Sox, I mean, they just love you. And they love the fact that, you know, you feel like you seem like you were one of them. You had all your nice little catchphrases, and everybody kind of knew what was going on in the game by your demeanor.
Well, I was one of them. There's no question about that. I mean, I really was. I you know, people used to write about me in different cities, you know, like in New York or Boston or wherever we were. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal did a big story on the biggest homer in baseball, and I want it going away. And I don't know if they were trying to be mean or derogatory or whatever, but that was a compliment to me because I wanted my White Sox to win each and every day. And I really got pissed off if we beat ourselves. Now, in baseball, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. It's what you do with those other 42 games. And when we beat ourselves, then I had that 100-mile drive down to our home in Indiana every day, back and forth, and I would be so upset. And as it turned out to be a positive because the first thing you know, I was thinking about something, and then I'm all of a sudden I drive 100 miles and I'm driving into my driveway. So the time passed very quickly. Plus, I got to listen to some great announcers, you know, on my SiriusXM radio at night, and especially, you know, Eric Nadell, Vin Scully. All these guys who are just great announcers, Ray Fosse out in Oakland, who's a former teammate of mine, has developed into a terrific analyst in baseball. So that helped me as far as making that drive each and every day. And I used to be a voracious reader, and I had my Kindle with me in my car all the time, and I would listen probably at least to a book a week, you know, on that. I'm a big Tom Clancy fan. So, you know, you find your way to go around it. But now that I'm retired, I've always been structured. And, you know, since I was 12 years old, I played in the first Little League game in the history of Savannah. I hit 3 home runs and a double in that game. And I was a big kid. I was a big 12-year-old kid, big and strong. And from that time on, everybody in Savannah knew who I was. And I went to military school for 3 years. I made All-American in basketball and, you know, got assigned a football scholarship to go to the University of Georgia and assigned a big contract with Kansas City, bonus contract to play baseball. Actually, baseball is my worst sport. And it was because it was the toughest. But I've always been structured. And then I went into golf, which is you're structured there, and then I went into broadcasting for 42 years, so always had a structure. And I'm a son of a gun now, you know, this retirement stuff. In fact, I talked with Jason Benetti yesterday, and I love that kid. I'll tell you what, he is such a great announcer right now, and he's going to get better and better and better. And I'll tell you, one day, in my opinion, Jason Benetti will go to Cooperstown if he continues on the same trend he's on, because he and Steve make a better combo than Steve and I did, because Steve has been there a long time and I was there a long time. Steve knows a tremendous about pitching, and I know a lot about hitting, and sometimes, you know, we clashed or we didn't exactly, let's put it this way, we didn't exactly get along during that particular game. But I enjoyed working those 10 years with Steve. He's a terrific announcer, and he and Jason do a great job.
Ken Hawk Harrelson joining us here on White Sox Weekly. One more for you here, and I know that you've got some time to think about this, but have you begun thinking about the speech at all at Cooperstown?
Well, as I said, AJ was here, and I went on a couple of shows immediately after the announcement was made, and I told him, I said, I'm going to let AJ write my speech for me, or maybe even give it for me. And they said, no, don't do that. You know, he's Dennis the Menace too. But now I'm going to have AJ come over. And the guy who wrote my book, Jeff Snook, is a tremendous writer. I'm going to have Jeff come up, and my wife is going to chip in on it. And our daughter, Krista, our beautiful daughter, Krista, and our handsome son, Casey. So we'll collaborate on this thing and try to get it done. The only thing I'm worried about is Euchre. Euchre's liable to get on my ass and just wear it out. I'm telling you, I love him. I love him like a brother, I'll tell you. He's one of the greatest guys I've ever met in my whole career, and I've known him since I was about 20 years old.
Yeah, and he's got the benefit of having filled in for Johnny Carson. So, I mean, he's got a little bit of an advantage over you, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not in his category in that respect. You know, the funny thing about it, though, in fact, I was talking with some guys at our golf club today, and they asked me, is Euchre as funny as he seems? And I said, well, there's only one guy I know who's funnier than Bob Euchre, and Euchre will tell you. And they said, who's that? I said, Mickey Mantle. But Mickey had to be in his his arena, so to speak. He had to be in his environment, surrounded by guys he really loved or liked, you know. And he was the funniest guy I've ever been around in my life. But you could be funny in any surrounding, you know, mixed company, females, males, whatever, and do it. But I love the guy, and I learned a lot about announcing, believe it or not, from Don Drysdale and Bob Uecker. I really did. Just you know, I listened to Uecker every time I had a chance, and he's one of the biggest ambassadors for the game of baseball. He and Tommy Lasorda are probably the two biggest ambassadors in the game.
Hawk, we appreciate you taking some time. And again, congratulations on a great honor, Ford C. Frick Award winner. And I can't wait to catch up with you again at the ballpark and also check it out in July when you go into the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's good, Andy. But I'll tell you what, our Sox fans can look forward to having a fun year this year. And then starting in 2021, we're going to be a monster because we got the right man piloting the plane. He's the captain of the ship, and that's Rick Renteria. Plus, Rick Hahn and Kenny have done a great job at just absolutely stocking our farm system with some premium players.
Hawk, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Andy. All right, buddy.
And Ken Hawk Harrelson, the conversation with him, sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. We want to remind you also that 2020 ticket packages are on sale right now. Secure your seat with a 20-game plan. Find the plan that meets your schedule and budget with lower-level plans starting as low as $403. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. Quick time out here on White Sox Weekly, and when we come back, Darryl Van Scowen of the Chicago Sun-Times will join us on White Sox Weekly on WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
As we roll on here, White Sox Weekly, Andy Mazur with you here. We'll take you to 6:30. That's when we'll turn things over to Chris Bowden and Blackhawks hockey, Hawks and St. Louis coming up tonight from the city that lives under the arch, so to speak, there in St. Louis. And Chris will have all the details and get you ready for Hawks, that is, coming up against St. Louis at the bottom of the hour at 6:30. In the meantime, let's keep the conversation going here about the White Sox, and we welcome in one of the tremendous beat writers for the White Sox who covers them for the Chicago Sun-Times, Darryl Van Scowen. And I want to, first of all, Darryl, I want to know how San Diego treated you.
San Diego is a nice place, Andy, as you know. I was keeping my eye open for you out there, but we don't get outside maybe as much as we'd like to. You know how it is there. It's there's always stories to be followed and work to be done, and you can't drift too far from campus. But upper 60s and sunny. When I peeked out the window, I did get out for a run a day or two. But a busy and a good I think winter meetings for baseball, and the Sox made just the one move.
Yeah, I was trying to explain too at the beginning of the show that I think there's a lot made of the winter meetings and the fact that if you get a deal done or you don't get a deal done, people kind of look at you and think, okay, well, why didn't you do more at the winter meetings? At winter meetings, you can make deals before and after the winter meetings. I think people kind of lose sight of that.
Well, no doubt. There were some big deals that were made there by some of the other teams, and the Sox, they signed Grandal in November, Yasmani Grandal, the catcher, which was, for them, was a big move. And they did go hard after Zach Wheeler, the right-hander, and made a substantial offer to him. So, you know, those two things really signaled, I think, to most people that, the Sox were thinking big in this offseason. And we don't really know yet if they are. There's plenty of off-season left. Like in the case of Wheeler, I think just because they were willing to put up that kind of money, it was $120 million plus offer for 5 years. I don't think that necessarily means that they're going to flip right to the next tier of pitchers and be all in on those guys. I think Wheeler was a guy that they felt like because of his age and has been used. I mean, he has some miles left on his arm, and there's just a lot of good things that fit and look good to them. Why he made sense for that kind of money. So, whether a Madison Bumgarner or Dallas Keuchel or some of the other guys in that next tier, whether they make sense to the Sox, I don't know. I'm not really convinced of that. But, the Sox work, Han and Kenny now, they work kind of under the radar now. They work best quietly where people don't really know what they're doing. So, let's wait and see. Rick did say he expects to make some moves here in the next couple of weeks. To what degree or what level of moves those will be, we don't know. People are watching, though. That's for sure.
They're watching. They're listening. They're on Twitter. They're doing a lot of stuff there. And I want to kind of go off the point you just made. With the fact that, they didn't get Wheeler. There was, for whatever reason, the fiance, the wife wanted to stay close to the East Coast. And, you can't throw any money at that because that's just kind of how it goes with the way that turned out. But the interesting thing you bring up, too, that the next tier, maybe not as good as some pitchers that you might be able to get via trade. And I think that kind of thinking might be along a better line than just throwing money at the next guy.
Yeah, that's the other part of it too. And they made the trade for Nova last year, and whether it was a good one or a bad one, he had a poor first half, good second half. He was what they needed, but that was a little bit under the radar too. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, there's players out there, and they might it might not be necessarily a proven type veteran like him. It might be a guy who has. Who they view as a guy with with some upside too. So be interesting to see what they do. They've got a couple of there's a couple of pieces that they can move in a deal, and we'll see. There's been some their name is the Sox have surfaced in the the David Price rumors. I don't know about that. Just looking at. Looking at his age, he's going to be 35 in August. I don't know that makes sense to them in terms of what they're trying to do. If you're trying to win this year, yes, it would. But for them to make the type of commitment they would need to make for him financially at his age, they keep saying, we are building something for beyond. This year, and I think that's the plan. Like it or not, I think that's what they that's what they're trying to do. I would kind of see them. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly what they're gonna break camp with, but they might be in a position where they go with with a roster that looks maybe like a. A 500 team, and then with so many young players on the roster, see how they do for 2 months, 2-3 months, and if they're in a position, at the trade deadline to strike and make some upgrades and take a shot at the postseason next year, then that might be a tack that they're looking at.
Gerald Van Scout of the Sun Times joining us here on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Andy Mazur with you here. And, Daryl, the other thing, let's talk about the trade that they did make and bringing in Nomar Mazara. And I watched this guy with my own two eyes hit that ball 505 feet off of Reynaldo Lopez and thought, boy, that ball went quickly and went far. Kind of break down what they see in him. And I know there's a lot of question marks about the fact that, now in his fourth year or fifth year that, that the home run levels have kind of plateaued a little bit. But the White Sox must see something in this. And plus, they didn't get any production out of right field last year.
Yeah, they see, it's kind of a flyer maybe, but they see upside. He's 24. He already has 4 years of major league experience at that age. So there's something to be said to that. A lot of power, and I think maybe they think if this is a guy, a change of scenery guy that might benefit from just a different environment, new club, different hitting coach, a guy that would probably. As Han said, against right-handed pitching would look okay in the bottom third of our order. Defensively, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, he throws well, but other than that, there's not much there. And to me, that's not a good thing. I think they need to be better defensively you know, both in the infield and the outfield. And so in that regard, you know, it's not a big a big splash, but what he's better with they had their what they had there last year, and we don't know yet what kind of pieces they might complement the right field position with yet. So as you've been saying, there's more time left in this offseason.
Yeah. In our final moments with Darrell Vance Gallen here, I know you guys got to catch up with Yasmani Grandal at the winter meetings as well, the big free agent signing, and he seems to be on board and pretty much all in, saying that he wants to play 162 games, and if he has to play shortstop, which I don't think will ever really happen, but he's willing to do that.
Yeah, I know he caught a lot of games this year, this season, but I don't, you know, with McCann, they can obviously, you know, get him off from behind the plate, you know, a lot more than he was last year, and he can play first base, and he can DH, so. This is a good sign, a good signing. He checked off a number of needs that they had. Obviously, behind the plate, he's a great pitch framer. He's very much into working with other pitchers. He's already made phone calls to a number of the guys. He's been looking at video. He was looking at video before they even signed him. But the other thing is that he's you know, a switch hitter, and he gives them some more presence from the left side, which they need. He's a good on-base guy, which is something they need. So that's that was a good sign for sure.
Well, Darrell, we appreciate you taking some time for us, and we'll catch up with you probably next at Sox Fest, if not before.
Okay, Andy, anytime.
You got it. All right, Darrell Vance Gallen, who covers the White Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times, kind enough to join us here. We'll take a timeout. We'll get you into the newsroom, and then more White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
I think we made progress on a handful of fronts. Obviously, the pitching need is probably the one that's most prominent right now. But you can't force the pace of this. And certainly, if we hit on the right targets come next June or July, nobody's going to have any issue with whether we acquired them on December 13th or we just acquired them on January 13th.
White Sox Weekly rolling on here on 720 WGN. Andy Mazur with you here till 6:30. The thoughts there of General Manager Rick Hahn. Kind of going hand-in-hand with what we were talking about a little bit earlier. The winter meetings gets all the hype. It gets all the fluff. It gets all the attention. You know, the general manager all in the same room, and they're in the same hotel. They can actually talk to each other face-to-face. But again, I think that, you know, if you make a big splash on, you know, even on February 13th, for goodness sakes. I mean, even if it's that late and then you get a guy to come in, shouldn't matter what time when you get him. It's just a matter that you get him. And right now, some of the groundwork is being laid for more deals, some other things like that. Because, you know, as Darrell Vance Gallen told us last hour, you know, that he really feels like, and I think that it's kind of been intimated and indicated to these guys and to the, you know, to people that are in the know, that there are some more deals coming. And I don't think by any stretch that this is the team that's going to be going to spring training at this point. I don't think it's complete yet. You know, plus you have the opportunity to start thinking about, you know, Madrigal and Robert and how you're going to use those guys, if you're going to bring them up early, if you're going to bring them up late. So there's a lot of decisions that need to be made at this particular point. But the White Sox did make one move, and that was the acquisition of Nomar Mazara from the Texas Rangers in exchange for Steele Walker. The thoughts here of General Manager Rick Hahn.
Obviously, someone who helps balance out their lineup, a left-handed hitter with at age 24, has already had some significant major league time. We view him, our scouts view him, as someone that has some untapped potential and some upside. But I think it needs to be understood that even on the downside of this, let's say he's the same player he's been for the last couple of years at the big league level, having a bat like that against right-handed pitching in the lower third of our order, which is where he may well end up, has a lot of value. So I wouldn't judge this move necessarily in isolation. I'd wait to see how the entire roster pans out and what we have ultimately on a day-to-day basis come this summer. This is a kid who, as you all are aware, has been viewed as having a very high ceiling. We continue to think he has a chance to reach that ceiling and are optimistic about where he goes once he's with us. But again, if he continues on the same path he's been on for the last few years, that's a valuable bat with good defense, especially against right-handed pitching.
Now, that's a great point to bring up. And again, not to judge the move in isolation. I like some of the terms that you hear, because it's the truth. You can't look at that in a vacuum and say, All right, well, how does this move affect everything? Well, you don't know what everything is yet, so it's kind of hard to judge it at this particular point. So, again, General Manager Rick Hahn talking about that trade. We also caught up with the manager, Ricky Renteria, got his thoughts on where the Sox are at this point.
We still continue to put ourselves in a position where we want to make sure that these kids come in now, because our conversation is a little different. I mean, we left the season last year, the last series of the year, talking about this year and what we were going to expect and what we wanted to do and what are the things that we want to accomplish. Obviously, winning more games and being a part of a relevant season is important to us. And so we're going to ask a lot of these guys. And it's time. You know, we talked about it being time. Guys are going to have to step it up. We've made some tremendous strides, made growth, but we still have to continue to add some pieces to put us over the top, to give us an opportunity to be relevant. We turn to the players that we already have. I think we turn to the things that we've improved upon. There's no one, I don't think, that we've talked to even toward the end of last year and even people that we've spoken to in terms of possibly coming here that don't see where we're at right now. I think there's an optimism and an excitement about the South Side right now that's legit. I don't think it's made up. It's not, you know, it's real. We have some players now that are starting to step it up, that their skill set is starting to show, and I think that it does require a commitment by them to continue to push themselves to be excellent. You still want to have fun. You still want to enjoy the game, but we're not going to stop emphasizing that we have to be fundamentally sound at every, you know, at every level of the game, and push ourselves to be the best that we can be. And you're not going to win just with one guy. It's not going to happen. You got to play as a team. If the game has told us anything, when clubs come together, all the different pieces that are put there, and they work alongside of each other in conjunction with one goal in mind, which is having success, it works. And so it's no different. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to let it roll the way it's supposed to roll.
All right, thoughts there of manager Ricky Renteria right after general manager Rick Hahn. So, you know, seemingly everything's on the same page. And you know, again, the message is this, you know, let's see what we have here before we start judging exactly what it is before spring training, and give these guys an opportunity to make a couple more moves, which I think that are probably going to happen. Sox Fest, by the way, returns January 24th through 25th. It's in a new location, McCormick Place. The two-day Fan Fest will span more than 100,000 square feet, offering more ways to connect with your favorite Sox stars. Sox Fest 2020, presented by Beggar's Pizza, Guaranteed Rate, Old Dominion Freight Line, Securian Financial, and Wintrust. Single and two-day passes are on sale right now. You can get yours at whitesox.com/SoxFest. And make sure this summer you bring a group of people with you to a White Sox games, because Sox games are so much better when you bring some friends and family. It's never too early to lock in your 2020 group package. From a diamond suite to a pregame patio party, we've got the perfect space for your occasion. For more information, visit whitesox.com or call 312-674-1000. When we come back on White Sox Weekly, Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka, they were at they had the unenviable task, I guess, of being in Mexico with the White Sox stars on the Sox on a Beach, or Sox on the Beach, I think it was called. James McCann was kind enough to spend a little time with him. You know, he has his family out there as well. But we'll hear from the White Sox all-star catcher when we return on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly continuing. Andy Mazur with you here. We'll take you to the bottom of the hour. That's when we have Blackhawks hockey coming up against the St. Louis Blues. Chris Bowden is studying and getting ready right now. I can see him through the window, giving me the big thumbs up, almost predicting a Blackhawks win tonight. Okay, maybe not. But we'll hear from Chris coming up here in just a few moments. Yeah, the White Sox pop-up shop is back at the Orland Square Mall this offseason. You can visit the White Sox store at Orland Square Mall now through January 15th. Conveniently located across from the Apple Store, fans can shop stadium exclusives and special promotions throughout the holidays. For more information, follow at White Sox Store on Instagram. So Lauren Lapka and Kevin Powell, again, drew the short straws of having to go to Mexico last week. That's another conversation for another day. You know, jealousy does rear its ugly head at certain times. Sox on the Beach was the fan festival that was going on there, with a few of the White Sox players showing up as well. And James McCann was one of those. They had a conversation with the all-star catcher.
You kind of got, like, broke onto the scene with White Sox fans last season. Like, I think a lot of people knew the name James McCann, but then all of a sudden it was like, James McCann, we love this guy. Because you heard Lucas talk a lot about how much he loved pitching to you and how much he like you meant to him and all of that. What has the past year been like?
Man, it's been really special. Playing, coming up with the Detroit Tigers and playing as a visitor in Chicago is one of my favorite cities to always go to. Just the atmosphere from the city to the stadium, I loved it. And when I had the opportunity to come and make it a home, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. And we as a family, my wife and kids and I, we kind of ran with it. We lived downtown Chicago. We were right over by Navy Pier. We really took it all in, and it was just a wonderful 2019.
Well, you mentioned your family. It's only been less than 24 hours, but you're a family man. You make that clear. It's great to see your family's here in Cancun. You guys having some fun?
It's been a blast. My kids love the water, and back home in the off season, there's not much outside time with the winter weather. So them getting to go in the pool and slide down slides and be on the beach, it's been a lot of fun.
I know you're on vacation and you try to avoid people like me, the sports reporters, I understand. So I got to ask you one question though, James. Yasmani Grandal signs a big old contract with the White Sox. Sox fans are excited. It sent a message, right? I mean, the rest of the baseball world saw that, where it's been two back-to-back slow off seasons. The Sox go out and get Grandal. Your thoughts on it? I mean, I don't think anybody's looking at diminished time for James McCann, but obviously that's another catcher brought in. So your thoughts on the Grandal coming into the White Sox organization?
Well, first off, Grandal is a phenomenal player. His track record obviously speaks for itself. And I definitely think it's something that helps strengthen our lineup. It helps strengthen our team as a whole. It gives us flexibility from the catcher position, from DH position, first base position. And as a whole, it makes our team better. And that's what I'm all about is winning. And if Grandal is going to help us win, then I'm all for it.
There's a lot of buzz about the White Sox, and you hear a lot of that, where the Sox are trending in that direction, where it is. This is an organization who went through a few rough years because it was a rebuild. We all understood what was going down. And Yasmani said that when he signed. He can see this is a team trending in the right direction. You got to be excited, right? I mean, the Sox fans here in Cancun came here even if this wasn't the direction it was going, they're going to be here. But it's like you can feel the buzz around the White Sox.
Yeah, there's no question. I saw it before I signed, watching, across the diamond, watching guys like Tim Anderson, Mancata, Giolito, knowing what they had coming up through the system. When I had the opportunity to sign and be a part of coming out of that rebuild, that's what was sold to me, was it was time to come out of the rebuild. Feeling like I played a part in that and now feeling like I'm going to be able to play a part in contending, it's exciting. It's definitely exciting times on the South Side. And honestly, you think about our team last year, you take away the rough stretch, right after the All-Star break when T.A. was on the DL for a little bit and Eloy was on the DL for a little bit. We really played .500 baseball for the majority of the season. So you add a couple of pieces to the current group and it should be a lot of fun.
Lauren, one of the biggest White Sox fans I know.
Yes. So Dylan Cease is here with you. And one thing that's been talked about a lot is our young pitchers. Kevin already mentioned Lucas. How proud are you of how much they have progressed as young baseball players, but also just from the beginning, how they've progressed as people through this process? Because I feel like you've played a big part in that.
Yeah, something that a lot of fans don't necessarily see and don't have the patience for is the learning curve at the major league level. A guy like Dylan Cease has 4+ pitches, and he's a guy that you want when he steps on the mound for the first time in the big leagues to be a Cy Young Award winner every season. And that's just not the way that it works. There's very few, Mike Trouts and guys like that that from the time they step on the scene, they're perennial all-stars. So being a part of the learning curve and seeing how guys mature, the physical stuff happens because of the mental stuff. And seeing guys, you're going to take your licks as a young guy, and it's how you bounce back and how you learn from that. And I've been thoroughly impressed with the way that Dylan Cease has handled himself. Guys like Giolito, you know, Renato Lopez, all those guys, you know, their positive outlook, but also their desire to work, their desire to get better is really something that's different.
You guys seem like a really close-knit group of players. You know, obviously a team is a team, but this is different. And a lot of people have argued that you really shouldn't take apart certain pieces. And obviously we've lost a few. Kevin likes to poke fun at me. I like to say we as if I'm part of the team.
She's a diehard fan.
Everyone here is part of the team.
But how do you feel moving forward? Obviously you still have a lot of key players. And just in terms of the structure of you guys supporting one another, how strong do you think that is?
It's very strong. It's a very close group. And honestly, for me, as an outsider coming in last year, it's headed by Jose Abreu. He's a superstar who's not a superstar. And what I mean by that is the numbers that he puts up, the person that he is, the name that he is, he's a superstar. But he's the first one in the weight room every day. He's the first one in the cage every day. He's the last one to leave. That's just the kind of guy that he is. It's one of those things where, as a young player or another player, you look across the diamond and you say, okay, if that guy's doing this, I need to be doing that. And that's where it starts, is the big-name guys, you know, not acting like a prima donna. And that's Jose Abreu, and he really sets the tone. And then from there, you have a bunch of guys that buy into Ricky's philosophies and the way that Ricky wants to run things, and that's how the culture's been created there. And I look for it to continue trending in the right direction.
So what are you looking forward to most next season to really progress, to make sure that this team really is continuing to move forward? Is there anything specifically you can do and the team can do as a whole?
Well, I think the biggest thing is our focus. It's no longer about the rebuild. It's no longer about the prospects that are in AA or AAA. It's about winning and winning now. It's about playoff baseball. It's about the World Series. And from that standpoint, you know, it's less about development and it's more about results. And that's what you play the game for. You know, you play the game to win. You play the game to win a title. And from my perspective, it's time to bring a title to the South Side.
And great words there from James McCann. Big thanks to Kevin Powell and Laura Lapka as well on that interview in the tough climbs of Cancun, Mexico. Feel really bad for them. Anyway, you can pick 10 plans that are on sale right now and get ready for the 2020 season with a flexible, affordable ticket plan. Pick your games, your opponents, your schedule with lower-level plans starting at $205. Visit WhiteSox.com to pick your plan today. We'll wrap things up on White Sox Weekly next on 720 WGN.